I'm Bill Block, co-founder of Colby Times. I'm with Peter Block, one of today's leading thinkers, consultants, and a source of inspiration in the field of community. He's the author of Community, The Structure of Belonging, and co-author of many other beloved books, including The Abundant Community and Another Kingdom. Peter, thank you for taking time to talk with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I noticed reading one of your books that you were deeply affected by your background growing up in a Jewish family and having some very interesting family members around you, like your aunts. Can you tell us what it was like and the effect that the community had on you and others?
Until I was 15, I was so immersed in being a Jew that I didn't even know I was a Jew, because there were no Gentiles. It was a very tight, inclusive world. And economically, you know, you'd only buy from your own extended family. As a child, there were too many of them. And I thought, this is what it means to be young, I guess. And I just, you know, it was loud. It was expressive. A couple of my uncles collected jokes for a living. And at the same time, you accommodate yourself to the dominant larger culture. And the older I got, the more I left. I left home. I left Kansas City. I moved east to college and tried to get a job at home. And so I just kind of got assimilated like most Jews do. But I'm struggling for who am I, what's my identity. It's the only thing I can count on. It's the only thing that I know I haven't made up or fictionalized. And so I'm grateful for that. Disturbed about the state of Israel and the conditions today. I'm a lousy Jew. I felt for a long time that if I didn't go to temple and didn't know the words and didn't speak the language, that I'd probably betrayed my heritage. And then I was in a Jubilee forum that we run with Rabbi Miriam, and she says, you know, your Jewishness comes through the blood of your mother. And if your mother was Jewish, it's all over. It's said and done. That's who you are. And whether you're disaffected, practicing, conservative, reform. And I took great comfort that I have a history that's assured to me. The other part of being a Jew is you're an outsider.
Now, you talk about being on the outside and being a nomad, sort of an outlier. Do you think that contributed to your being a consultant for many years?
Yes, absolutely. It contributed everything. Where I lived, how I lived, how I thought of my children. I just felt it was never in the cards for me to be normal. Partly because my family was difficult. My father died when I was 14 or 15, and that was a loss I'll never get over. And so I tried to live a normal life, you know. Had kids, had a mortgage, had a house, had a job, 8:15 to 4:45, and the longing was so deep, I would do anything to fit in and be belong somewhere. And after a while, I realized it just wasn't going to happen.
Hmm.
And then I started finding my own voice. My life began probably in my mid to late 20s.
It seems that there are people who are waking up to the fact that they have lived this sort of consumeristic reality for a long time. And there are some pioneers like you and John McKnight who are painting a new kind of picture, of abundance, like you talk about in the abundant community, as opposed to a scarce community. What does the abundant community look like in contrast?
Well, it's a life organized around walking distance. It's a belief that without the strangers, we'll never be surprised. It's an economy that's simpler, You know, the economy used to be Saturday morning in the marketplace instead of our main source of entertainment. And so I think the economy is fragile, and people are going to have to find their own way to make a living with three jobs. I think the structures are changing, like you document on your website. And Paravets, you know, there's a cooperative movement going on. 43 million Americans are members of cooperative. I think there's a taking back. There's a jubilee idea that just I can't get out of my head, which is every 7 years you forgive the debts of the poor. And every 49 years, you return the land to the rightful owners. And in modern terms, I think that has real possibility, has real meaning. And so to me, the cooperative movement, cooperative land trust, the Schumacher Center, the work that you're doing are all powerful examples of the future showing up in the present. I have no question there will always be, you know, a future where people can find a way to live with integrity. It will never get reported on except by you. All of us need to be more authentic. The problem, the challenge in the faith community, which I think is going to be the base of all this change, is you just don't want to talk about money. And that's where you need some of the crassness of Americans to infuse the conversation. Let's talk about money, how much we have, and where we're going to spend it, what things should cost, what constitutes a good life. But it's very hard here in the States for churches to talk about money, and they sit on a bit of it. There's no such thing as a poor person. To call somebody poor, really, is to call them broken. And as soon as you name somebody broken, that activates you to fix them, feed them, house them, train them, transport them. You know, and as soon as you call somebody broken, they look at you and they say, you're right. So that's the conversation that has to change. You know, I think, for me, faith has always been just a given. You know, I haven't been, quote, religious. I've never been one who carried much hope, which is kind of waiting for a future to happen. I've never wanted to answer the question, what's next, what's new, what do you see happening, or the longing to predict what's going to happen, or even get too pessimistic and get angry at what I don't. But I've always felt faith. I always felt, well, there's some reason we're here. And for some reason I'm here.